Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, welcome to Talking Sense, a podcast with me, Dr. Marta. I'm a clinical psychologist trained in family therapy, and every week I answer one of your real life questions, offering you some psychological understanding, ideas, and suggestions to guide you. Before we begin, I always like to give you a moment, a little pause to do something for yourself, either today or at some point during the week. And this week, one of my little challenges for you is to find something that brings you back a spark and to do it by yourself or with your child. It's so helpful for children to see us shining and kind of sparkling. So if there's something that brings back a little bit of your unique spark, try and fit it in this week. Doesn't have to take very long. It might just be a few minutes, but those few minutes might feel really glorious when you do them. Have a think, and when you're ready, let's begin. Today's question is on body positivity and how we can build it with our children. Let's have a listen.
I'd really love to hear your thoughts on how we approach with children issues around body weight, image, body positivity, all of those kinds of issues, and how you think that should be dealt with, not just in older children, but right from sort of toddlerhood, and how to create a positive body image moving through life. Thank you so much. Bye.
I really like this question. I do feel that body positivity is a bit of a movement at the moment in our society, in this kind of generation that we're in. There are so many more messages, both in the media and just when you read about them, about body positivity. It's particularly for me, compared to when I was growing up and was a teenager, there was only one kind of body shape that was visible, really. The kind of Kate Moss was the top model that, you know, everybody wanted to look like Kate Moss, and that was the desirable body type. And it was very kind of narrow, like there was a very narrow window of body types out there. And I feel like that has changed. And with that change has come some body positivity around it and some kind of open thinking about the messages that we are receiving, not just for children, but also us as adults. So before I even get into the nitty-gritty of the things that we can do around our children, and the things I'm going to talk about are evidence-based. There is a huge amount of research around what makes something body positive or what makes something like healthy for children and the outcomes that it brings. So I'm also going to talk a little bit about research so that you realize it's not an opinion-based podcast. It never is. But I think particularly with this topic, I think there are so many opinions out there. So I'm going to do my best to kind of offer you a little bit of research in here so that you can get a sense of why I'm saying the things I'm saying. But before I even get there, for me, it's really important to just reflect as adults, and particularly if you're a parent, how are you with body positivity? Like, how positive are you about your body? So even if you just take a couple of seconds now to think, when you think about your body or when you look at yourself in the mirror, what do you hear yourself say about yourself? What are the words that come up? You know, what's the first thing that comes to your mind if I say, imagine yourself by the swimming pool? Look at your body. What would you say? Now, I think these questions can be really difficult for us and they can bring up a lot. So if that's happened, please take a moment and breathe. Okay, take a pause. This is really important if what you're hearing are kind of negative words or shaming words, because if you really want to support your child in developing a different kind of interaction with their body and having more kind of positive language around themselves, it really does begin with you. And that's hard, like really, really hard. And I speak from a place of being a woman and a mother, and again, a girl who was socialized in a society where my body did not fit the ideal, was never gonna look like the ideal. So for me, this is really important because I'm aware that this can bring up a lot for adults, parents, particularly women. And we know this from research that women and girls are more sensitive to this, but it's also because we've been socialized to be sensitive to this. Women and girls from very early on, and there's a lot of research on this, get socialized in a way that tells them that what is important is how they look. Girls basically get told very early on that their bodies are made to be looked at, that they're supposed to be pretty, that being pretty is a valuable thing. Whereas boys, we know this from research again, are socialized to understand that their bodies are functional, that they're strong is usually the main message. They're strong, they're fast. You know, they are able to do these amazing things with their body. And those two messages are very different. And those two messages have an impact. So we know that girls and women are more sensitive to this. So I'm very aware that any grown woman listening to this may feel like a strong emotion while I say certain things or reflect on certain things. So I do want you to be mindful while you're listening to this podcast. You know, do take control of it. Stop it, pause it, take a break. Do what you need to feel safe. And I will, if I feel like I'm going to say something that might be a little bit emotive, I'm going to do my best to pause and to give you that moment of kind of respite if you need it. So let's begin thinking about what is this idea of body positivity, or even the opposite, body dissatisfaction. So it doesn't matter what you actually look like. The whole idea of body positivity is that it's not about how you look. It's about how you think and feel in your body. Okay? So it doesn't matter whether you meet the ideals that society kind of places on us or not. It matters that you feel good about yourself, that you feel good about who you are. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how do we help children feel good in their skin, in their bodies, in the body shape that they've been born in, to just accept themselves for who they are, regardless of what society says about them. And that's the really tough one, right? Because the regardless, imagine that it's in quotes, I'm doing air quotes with my fingers, is really tough. Because we know that there's messaging out there, not just from like society, explicit and implicit messages about what kind of body type is acceptable for girls and for boys, okay? Because we also know that although girls are more sensitive to this kind of communication around bodies and ideals, beauty ideals, we know that body positivity and body image is related to all genders, okay? Boys and girls get affected equally, and particularly at the moment in this generation, the messaging around boys and muscles, so it's no longer about being strong, but there's a lot of kind of visuals about muscles, is really impacting on young boys and the fact that they want to work out and build six packs and look a certain way to be attractive. And again, they are beginning to think of their bodies more as objects rather than bodies kind of as vehicles for their whole person. So this is what we're going to talk about today. And I'm going to begin kind of thinking about the things that you can do both as parents, but we can do as a society, because I don't believe for one second that this is just a parent's responsibility. And I know there are all sorts of adults who listen to my podcast, and I believe we all have a duty to think about the messages that we are giving children and to really reflect on the messages that we're giving ourselves. Like, what are we taking in? What are the things that we have kind of absorbed from our society, from our upbringing, from the messages that we've been given, that we've kind of absorbed and taken as for granted, and that we're now kind of giving back to children and kind of saying, it's your time to hold this. Because when we do the work on ourselves, so those earlier questions about how you feel about your body, when you do that work, when you begin to really reflect on the kind of words you're using with yourself, the way that you talk about your weight and your appearance, and you're able to shift it into something that is more compassionate, but also more realistic, more in line with the fact that your body does amazing things. So it's about valuing your body for what it does rather than what it looks like. Then the work that you do with your child will be so much more meaningful and so much easier because you're doing it for you. And this is something that I think at becoming a mother, again, as a woman, I have really felt deep within me. I have changed so much the way I think about my body, the way I talk about my body. And I'll be sharing some of that here with you because I think it's important. Like, this is vulnerable stuff. And I think sometimes we just need to be honest about how hard it can be. But those shifts, they might feel small, but they're actually huge and they can make such a big impact to our children. So let's begin with appearance. We have a lot of evidence that the way adults talk about bodies around children really matters. And this is not just for parents, it's also for teachers, particularly PE teachers, right? Teachers who are involved in doing physical work with children. When we as adults make comments about body image, even when they're positive, they have a negative influence on children. Does that sound really strange to you? It might do. Here's the thing. As soon as you say a positive comment about a child's body, what happens is that there is a flip side. We're basically saying to children, so if you don't look this certain way, or if your body is not this certain shape, or whatever it is, then it's not pretty, or it's not acceptable, or it's not something I like, or it's not something I appreciate. And this is a really hard one, because I think in our society, we make comments about appearance all the time. So having this idea of not making comment on people's bodies is really hard. It's kind of not natural, because the instinct is to comment on how people look, particularly children and particularly little girls. So moving away from that is really hard, but there is an alternative and one that I encourage you to try. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to get this every time, okay? So for me, it's about balance rather than black and white. Of course, you can say to a child that they look really cute, or, you know, what great hair they've got. That's absolutely fine. But I want you to make sure that you're balancing it out, that you're not always just complimenting their looks, okay? So instead, try and focus on what a child enjoys doing or what they're interested in. We want to place a greater value on their skills and their talents than what they actually look like, because that's where children get a sense of self-worth. And it's no longer tied to their appearance. It's tied to their abilities, their interests, their skills, their talents. So for example, when you see a child and they're wearing a really beautiful outfit, rather than saying, oh my God, I love your dress, or I love what you're wearing, try and simply tell them how nice it is to see them. Oh my God, I'm so pleased to see you. It's been so long. I've missed you so much. Make it about them, not about how they look. I know this is tough, but I think when we hear alternatives, then it makes it easier for us to try and imagine actually playing this out in real life.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Okay, another area to work on as adults is to be really mindful about how we speak around weight. Now, every single time I talk about this, people get really kind of worked up about it because we see weight as being part of health, right? We have this myth that people who are slimmer are therefore healthier. And I am going to call it a myth because it is a myth. Health is not solely about weight, okay? And BMI is a really terrible predictor of health. We know this. You know, experts talk about it. By experts, I mean like medical doctors, that BMI is a terrible, terrible, terrible predictor of health. So your weight is such a small factor to determine whether you're healthy or not. And you know, one of the biggest kind of evidences of this is that lots of athletes are overweight, but they're incredibly healthy people, okay? They have huge muscle mass, and the part of their weight is to do with the fact that they carry so much muscle and that they eat a huge amount of calories a day in order to sustain that, to have the strength to do the work that they do, because athletes are professionals, right? And, you know, similarly, somebody who's incredibly slim could be deficient in nutrition. They could be really unhealthy in other areas, like their mental health might be really affected, or perhaps they are not able to exercise or to actually be very physically active. Perhaps they're really slim and that's their body shape, but it doesn't mean that they are healthy. So we need to try and move away about this association around large bodies being unhealthy or wrong, and this idea of weight being something that we need to lose or gain. Okay, now again, there is a gender perception to this, and there's been a study that showed that children as young as 3 are influenced by their parents' attitude to weight. What they did in this study was ask children to choose figures from a range of like body shapes, sizes, genders, that were either thin to large sizes, you know, lots of different body shapes, and they asked them how they represented positive or negative characteristics. So some of them were things like who would be mean or who would be kind, who would be teased by others, who would be getting invited to the party, who would get excluded. And what they found was that children whose parents had a negative view of overweight tended to choose bigger figures to represent negative characteristics. And in particular, in the study, what they looked at was mothers' kind of reflections and representations of weight. So, of course, the study talked about mothers influencing children greatly, which is true because as a mother, you're a parent, but it's not just about mothers, okay? It's about adult influences around weight, and our attitudes and beliefs about body shape do influence our children. So what I want you to be really mindful of is how you talk about weight, not just about others, but yourself. The things that you say out loud. So if you are pro diets and you diet, how you talk about that around your child is going to influence whether your child feels that losing weight or putting on weight is acceptable or not. Things like who you find attractive out there in the world, whether it's like, you know, celebrities or in magazines or whatever it is, you know, notice the kind of bodies that you are appreciating, the kind of bodies that you are saying and giving that message to your child that they are attractive, because those things will influence your child's view of who is acceptable in society and who is not. So one of the most important things to kind of think about is to appreciate, similarly to what we said about appearance a few minutes ago, really appreciate that people are not objects, and the things that you value about certain celebrities that you like are not about their looks. They're about their sense of humor, or the fact that they're a really good actor, or their beautiful singing voice, or how great they like write lyrics. Open up your comments and your appreciation of others by making it really explicit to your child that it isn't just about appearance, thinness, you know, overweight. It's not about looks. It's about who the person is. And this is the same for you. You need to focus on your skills, your values. So here I'm going to talk about myself a little bit, just to give you an example. And I know this is really hard, but I have always thought that my thighs were fat. And I was told my thighs were fat by lots of people. So I grew up thinking that I was not okay. My body was not acceptable because there was something about my thighs that did not fit the ideal. And my thighs are never going to look like the ideal. Like, this is a fact. Doesn't matter how much weight I lose, it's not going to happen. I have the body shape that I have. And it's taken me pretty much till my 30s, like a long time, to first of all accept my body, and secondly start to talk about my body and to myself in a different voice. And it did come from me starting to fall in love with running, which I adore and I used to hate when I was a child, because I didn't think I could run with my big fat thighs. Whereas now I've reframed it, because they're not big and fat. They're actually really strong, and they can take me all the way to do a half marathon and still have air to keep going. So I now think of my thighs as being strong. And now that I'm a mother and I have to pick up my child and the shopping and, you know, get everything in the car, I often thank my legs. So one of the things I've started to do to myself is appreciate my legs. I often say to them, thank you. Like, thank you for letting me do this. Thank you for carrying me to these amazing places. Thank you for letting me get to the finish line, which sometimes is my car and sometimes it's a half marathon, and it's amazing. But I appreciate my thighs. Like, I fully appreciate them. I actually don't want to change them anymore, because I would lose something really important that is a part of me. And that kind of talking has totally reframed the way that I speak about my body. And it's also changed how I think or talk with my child, who is also a little girl. So for me, there is a greater influence here. I need to make sure that I am showing and modeling language and ways of talking that are a good fit for what I hope she will be seeing or doing in the world. And I often talk about how strong she is and what great balance she has, because she does. She's like super strong. And I like to think that she will feel that way, that her legs and her arms are strong, and that that is a really good value, and that they help her do these amazing things that she likes to do, like jumps and climb up the monkey bars. And, you know, it's skills, right? What I'm trying to help her think of is, my body allows me to do these things, rather than focusing on her weight, her size, or my weight or my size when I do things. So think about it, because it's really important. And there is tons of research on it, that the more we talk about weight and the more we kind of value thinness, the less body positive our children become. And related to weight, I also want to talk about our perceptions and our comments around food. Again, this is a tricky one for lots of people, because most of us have grown up with the idea that there are such things as good food and bad food. And again, there is so much research on the fact that the more we focus on certain foods being bad, the more guilt, shame, and body dissatisfaction we feel and our children feel it too, because that is what we're modeling. That is also why lots of adults will use certain foods as comfort foods or as a way of dealing with their difficult emotions or even as a reward, okay? You do really well at work or you get an interview, what's the first thing you do? Plan a meal out or buy yourself a cake or treat yourself to like some biscuits. So, you know, think about that. How often do you use food as a reward, as a punishment, as a treat? Really think about that. And what foods are they? Because I'm pretty sure that if I was to say, you know, why don't you use broccoli as a reward? You would all laugh. Why would you choose broccoli? It's a food and it's actually delicious. And there's loads of ways you can cook it, but it's not going to be broccoli. Of course it's not. It's either going to be a sweet, high fat food, or for some people, it's a savory kind of high fat food, chips, crisps, nuts, that kind of thing. Nuts are great and they're healthy, but I think everything is healthy because the way that we know we need to talk about food as adults is not about them being good or bad for you. It's about all food being healthy and bringing nourishment into the body. And at the end of the day, it's about finding the right balance for you and your family. We know some foods are high energy, like chocolate and sugary foods, okay? But that doesn't mean that they give us zero nourishment, because we all need sugar in our bodies and it's not something that is bad for us. We need sugar, but we don't need it in as big quantities as other things that we need every day, like protein or carbohydrates or vitamins that come from fruits and vegetables and include fiber. Okay, so it's a balance, okay? But when we kind of put foods in a place of bad versus good, we are developing negative relationship with food. And a negative relationship with food is linked to a negative relationship with our bodies. Because if a child or even as an adult, you feel that your body doesn't look like the ideal, what often happens is you punish yourself by taking away certain foods, when actually some of it is about accepting that our bodies are a different shape. And of course we can talk about health in terms of doing healthier habits. And those are things that we can think about with our children, which might be about thinking about exercising or moving our bodies, but moving them for pleasure, not for losing weight, or moving them to feel stronger, or moving them to enjoy something like dance. Okay, but those things, the way that we think about them and the goal that we are seeking from them are so important. And it's really, really counterproductive to teach children that they should feel guilty when they eat something that is sweet or chocolatey or high fat, because what we know from research, and it is a fact, is that having a healthy attitude towards enjoying treat foods helps children and adults develop a healthy, positive image about themselves and their body. So it's about balance, and it's about accepting that you can eat a biscuit and you can have a slice of cake and you can have sweets and they taste good and they're absolutely fine when you come from a place of a balance in your nutrition, a balance in your intake. They're fine. They're not going to harm you. There's nothing bad or guilt-inducing or shameful about eating these things. And that's a really healthy attitude to be teaching our children. And of course, it comes from our role modeling and our ability to do this for ourselves too. And finally, very briefly, because I could talk about this topic at length, the other influence that we know is big on children around body image are the images that they see. So, as much as possible, we want to limit things like social media for little ones as much as is possible. And we also want to consider the kinds of toys and images that they see, whether it be in picture books or, like I said, toys, dolls, figures. What kind of body shapes do they have? Do we have variety and diversity? Not just around skin color, but also body shape and size. Now, this is something I'm really mindful of, again, because I have a little girl. And if you think about lots of figures and dollies, they all have the same body size. But it's not true. If you look for it, you will find them. You will find dolls and figures with different body shapes. And similarly in books, you want to find images where your kids will see all types of bodies represented, all types of characters with different values and abilities and skills, and they all have a different body shape, because that's healthy. And of course, it's more real of society. There may be ideals about thinness and what beautiful looks like in our society, but if you just look around you, that isn't the norm. Of course, it's not the standard. That is the unachievable goal. And so when we're able to show our children through books very early on, and then their dolls and the figures that they have, that there are a variety of body shapes and that people can look different and they're acceptable and they can be lovable, then we are opening up this idea of body positivity and we're widening it straight from the start, even when they're little, just by the images, the stories, the things that they're seeing and that they are kind of being able to match. And there is no good or bad. There are just different kinds of people who look different, and we all have value and we all bring richness to our society. And we're coming to an end. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to rate and review it. And if you'd like to learn more on how to bring connection and positivity to your interactions with your child, do check out my Confident Parent course. I go through step by step on most of the challenging moments that you can have with children from the ages of 18 months up to 5. So if your child is in that age bracket, go have a look in case it may interest you. Now, before I finish, I always like to leave you with a little mantra to hold you for the rest of the week. And given our conversation today, my mantra to you is, I'm not alone in this. You really are not alone. We're all working on this together, both on ourselves and with our children. Don't strive to get it right and make it perfect, okay? Just think of it as little by little progressing on yourself to develop a healthier, more body positive image of yourself and to be able to bring that to your child. Okay, little steps. We're all working on this, and I'm saying we very loudly because I'm including myself. I hope that you will want to join me again for another Talking Sense next week. And until then, see you soon.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.